Shalom to everybody. We are continuing in Rav Kook's commentary on Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And today is one last line on the topic of clean speech. And somebody mentioned correctly that maybe it's not appropriate, to deal with the issue of pornography or unclean speech in a mixed audience. Today, that really isn't the topic. It's just the beginning. It's the springboard. And as you'll see, the main topic today are two other aspects. But the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel, reads as follows. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chisda, this is what we saw last week. Kol ha-menavel et piv ma'mikin lo gehenom. Whoever speaks dirty, God deepens hell for him. And we saw last time, Rav Kook explains, that to deepen means that it goes down, sinks lower and lower and lower and lower. Shene'amar, as the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Shucha amuka pizarot, that the pit, the deep pit, is the mouth of foreign women, right? Someone who is trying to allure a man. That is like a deep pit. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, and this is the new Gemara for today, Afa shomea nivul peh vishotek. Even somebody who hears cussing, swearing, and is silent, and he doesn't say anything, he doesn't rebuke, Shene Amar, he also is going to fall, as the Pasuk then Mishlei continues, Ze'um Hashem Yipol Sham, that he who God is angry at, he will fall there. Okay, and the question is, why is God angry at somebody who really didn't do anything? We all know that Sheva Al Ta'aseh, if somebody is passive, it's not as serious an offense as if he gets up and actively sins. Nevertheless, as we'll see, Rav Kook has a very interesting take on this. Let's see, paragraph 2. Rav Kook says as follows, K'mochen ha'adam chalash berucho. Man has a weak tendency. Man is not very strong. We have a very strong potential, but often we fall. And as we spoke last time, man's imagination, his fantasies, animalistic fantasies, can bring him down. That we spoke last time about usually there are three levels of pi'ula, of activities in life. There is the thought, then there is the speech, and then there is the action. Today, Rav Kook is pointing out that there is a fourth topic, and that is passive listening. Like today, people talk a lot about passive smokers, that they also inhale a lot of the nicotine. Halacha also talks about passive listeners, and that is the topic for today. Right? We know Rav Kook is pointing out that not just somebody who doesn't talk nice, but somebody who hears. There are certain words that turn people on. The whole idea of love songs, the idea of poetry, Shira Shirim. Even somebody who hears words, it can bring him to thought, and it could also bring him to certain actions. Let's look for a second and source number 3, where I brought for you the Ora Chaim HaKadosh. It was just his Yortzeit not too long ago. Where he talks about Kemaaseh Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Ba Lo Ta'asu. You should not do things, negative things, like the people in Egypt. Ve'afilu Tchilat HaMachshava B'davar Zeh. as soon as you start thinking about these lewd or promiscuous thoughts, tigrom tigboret vaholadat tiviyut achefetz v'tigburato. That already puts these thoughts on your agenda. Ulze nitchakem chacham chachamim Shlomo haMelech avalav haShalom v'amar. And that's why Shlomo haMelech says in the book of Proverbs and Mishlei, Bni, im yifatucha chataim, perush bechinat hachit, if sin is alluring you, al toveh, don't get involved. In other words, don't even get involved at all. Don't listen. Perush lo tikanes im pituyecha betoen venitan. Don't start discussing the pros and the cons and arguing and debating. Ki arichut hargashat hachoshev afilu lebchinat hasholel tafil hagbarat hachefetz v'tafoich haratzon eleha. That even if a person is on the right side of the debate, the fact that an issue is debatable is a problem. Some of you may remember when Professor Edward Said of Columbia, I think it was, who challenged Alan Dershowitz to a debate about the Holocaust and Holocaust denial, and Dershowitz refused. And the Holocaust denier says, "What? You're not willing to debate? That's a sign that you're scared." To which Dershowitz replied ingeniously. He said, I'm willing to put it on a more general debate. If you're willing to put it on a slate, together with a debate about whether the world is round and whether there was slavery in America in 130 years ago, or 150 years ago, then I'm willing to debate whether the Holocaust occurred or not. In other words, the Ora Chaim is saying that certain non-tsanua, immodest topics, you shouldn't even be talking about, because talking about it, even if you're talking against it, that is also part of the Yetzer Hara. Anybody who's ever seen or attended Ask the Rabbi session with teenagers knows that inevitably the questions about Beino Levina, about boy-girl relationships, they always come up. And that's what the Ora Chaim is saying. Is saying that the Yetzer likes to talk about an issue, even if he's saying that you're not allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that. And similarly, that is what Rav Kook is explaining here regarding the hearing immodest words or immodest sentences. A person should not even get involved in it at all. Now, the Maharal takes this a step higher. Let's look together in Source 4. And I mentioned once in one of the Shiurim that of all of the sources of Rav Kook, aside from Chazal and the Zohar, the Maharal and the Kuzari are the most predominant in the sources of Rav Kook. And the Maharal writes as follows, on the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Kaf Bet, where the Gemara talks, this is source number 4, where the Gemara talks about Rashi brings it down on the Torah, that a servant who wants to continue to be a servant, even after his 7 years are up, what you do is you bring him to the door, and you take a marzeah, a needle, and you stick it through either this part or this part of the ear, And the question is, the Gemara asks, why davka do you pierce the ear of a slave who wants to be a slave until the Yovel, until the Jubilee year? What's the problem? And what does the ear represent? So, umanishtana ozen mikol evarim shebaguf. Why is this that which the slaves have pierced? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ozen sheshama koli al har Sinai, b'sha she'amarti ki li bnei Yisrael avadim, v'lo avadim la'avadim, that this slave who heard at Mount Sinai with his ears, he heard that God says, I took you out of Egypt because I don't want people to be slaves to man, and you are accepting this master, you want to voluntarily spend more than 7 years by him? You didn't listen to what your ear heard on Sinai. That's the end of the Gemara. The Maharal in his commentary asks a very beautiful question. Yesh lakshot. Im ken kol ma she'oseh avera yomar alav ozen she'shama bahar Sinai. She'al yaseh zeh ve'asa yen yirtza. According to this logic, every time a person transgresses a sin, and he does something, his ear heard at Mount Sinai, you should not eat pig. And he goes and he eats pig. So he should also pierce his ear. Ve'im ken kol she'avara ve'rayen yirtza. And accordingly, according to this, anybody who ever did a sin in his life should also have their ear pierced. Aval davar ze inyan muflag bechokhma. This is a very important idea in wisdom. Ki adam, here what Maral is going to explain, is where we get our wisdom from. And again, that's where Rav Kook is going as well. Ki adam hu adam al yedeya ozen bifrat. A person is comprised of a lot of different factors. There is his nature, his genetics. There is his nurture, his environment, his surrounding. There is his education. There is his peers. What a person picks up from his family, from his kindergarten teacher, from his peers, from his society, that makes up to a large extent who that person is going to be. Velo al yedei shar dvarim, which are much less influential. What a person smells, or even what a person sees, don't influence his personality as much as what he hears. His education. Vezeki kamo hakli kashir hu golem ein lo shem kli. Anybody who has learned the laws of tuma and tara, that when a utensil, a vessel, if it's just rough, and it doesn't have a clay kibul, it doesn't have an inside, it's not considered a kli. It doesn't get tuma. V'chasher yesh lo beit kibul, harei nechshav kli. That a vessel is only usable after it has a kli kibul. It can accept. Ve'ein adam, similarly, ein adam bala kabbalah rak al yedei ha'ozen. A person is just educated, learns, whether again from his Rebbe, from his society, from his parents, from his kindergarten teacher. We are, to a large extent, our ears. V'lekach kol shmiya miturgam kabbalah. Here the Maharal points out that anybody who's learned the Aramaic Targum Onkelos knows that whenever he translates the word shama, for example, by Yishmael, where the angel says, call his name Yishmael, ki shama Hashem el onyech, that God heard your misfortune. What does it mean, heard? You look in the Aramaic translation, it says, kibalt solote. God accepted. From the word likabel, a clay kibul, is something that has content. And the content of man is what comes in through our ears. V'chasher adam chereish harei adam nechshav kamo golem. Baruch Hashem, today it's not that way anymore. But we all know that 2,000 years ago, the halacha looked at the threesome of cheresh, shoteh, v'katan, that a person who was deaf, he was considered as if he was not dead, not alive. Why? Because in those days, before there were sign languages, before there were, he could not learn. And continues the Maharal, Asher inenu diber veloni gmar tzurato achrona klal. Right? Especially if he's deaf and dumb, he can't speak. That is not a regular person. A regular person needs to hear. And then he brings an unbelievable proof. He brings a famous Gemara on Baba Kama, Daf Pehe Amud Bet. Chereshu noten lo dmei kulo. If a person, chas v'shalom, breaks somebody's teeth, you pay him damages for his teeth. If you break his arm, you pay him damages for his arm. Right, there's shevet, ripui, boshet, pgam. There are a lot of different types of damages. Don't have time to get into all of them. But you pay the person for what you damaged. You damage his sight, you pay for his sight. The only thing that a person has to pay for an entire life is if a person makes a loud noise or somehow taka hit somebody in the ear and made him deaf, especially in both ears, then you have to pay the damages for the entire person, not just for his ears. Because a person is made up of what he hears. And this is the famous Rambam in Hilchot Deot, where the Rambam says that everybody is influenced by his society. Yes, psychologists talk about today nature, your genetics, and there's also nurture. There's free will. Yes, we believe in free will. But the Rambam points out, this is an Igeret, in Igeret Rambam, on page Samech Vav in the Rav Kook edition, he says that, yes, everybody is influenced by their society. You have free will to decide which society you want to be influenced by. That's part of the beauty of living in Eretz Yisrael, in a Jewish state, where the atmosphere is Jewish and the atmosphere is idealistic, and because a person is influenced by what he hears. Getting back to Rav Kook, again, Rav Kook bases a lot of what he writes on the Maharal. That's exactly what Rav Kook is saying. When a person hears something negative, that becomes part of him. Again, let's see it inside. Ad Shabit, we're again in 2 Aleph. Let's go back to 2 Aleph. K'mochen Adam Chalash Baruchu V'kol Kach Hazakim Bohem HaTziurav HaBe'emiyim. Because a person is so bent to certain negative influences, Ad Shabit Oruru Chel Shmi'a Ra'a U'Shfeila Yered Kvar Mimala Tarato V'tom Novsho. Even though our nature is godly, our neshama is godly, but as we mentioned last time, the Baal HaTanya says that we also have a nefesh behemit with animalistic tendencies. V'na'aseh yedei ze kvar eved michudan l'matzavim bilti tahorim. By the way, this is another proof that I know for sure that the Maharal that we learned is playing in the background of Rav Kook, because he uses a term here that's found in Chazal, one or two places, that a eved michudan is not just a slave who is pierced. It is a slave who is pierced with a spear, not with a needle. In other words, he is super enslaved, l'matzavi bilti tohorim. When a person is accustomed to hearing negative things, it becomes part of him. V'yuchal al yada lered midechi el dechi, and you sink from level to level. Again, that's what the Gemara says, mamikim gehenom, right? That it goes down from your thoughts to your speech to, from what you hear, that's where Rav Kook is adding, to your speech and then to your actions. By the way, what Rav Kook is pointing out is also regarding Lashon. Yeah. Hello?
I'm sorry.
Okay. What Rav Kook is also saying is talking about Lashon Hara as well. When a person hears Lashon Hara, he also has to stop the person in his tracks, and it's not very politically correct, but just like when you hear a person curse, you should set him right and tell him, it bothers me when people talk like that. Or I would prefer, say it any way that you want, that it would be acceptable. But the hearer, the person who is hearing, also is suffering. So what should you do, continues Rav Kook, im lo yekadem et hara'a. You have to first, before you hear the bad words, you have to prepare yourself. How can you prepare yourself? How do you know what a person's going to say? Well, there are some persons, there are some people who curse a lot, so you can be prepared ahead of time. But what Rav Kook is saying is you have no choice but to be prepared. What am I going to say if I hear negative speech or if I hear Lashon Hara? Right? Yekadem et hara'a. You have to prepare yourself beforehand, la'akor, to uproot that negative speech. Now, how can you uproot negative speech? It's been said. But that's what Rav Kook is saying. If you just remain quiet, silent, or you smile and nod, and you don't say yes, you don't say no, then you are also an accomplice. And this is a very important idea in Judaism. We've seen this before, especially in Rav Kook, that if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. And this is the mitzvah of how a person, when he rebukes, again, you have to be prepared beforehand. How am I going to rebuke? And only after you're prepared and then you hear the problematic speech and then you rebuke, you can then uproot even that which has been said, because then it won't influence you. Rav Kook is not naive. He realizes it's not politically correct and it's not pleasant to rebuke somebody for cursing or for talking Lashon Hara. Yotzeit me'atzem kuach ha'kedusha shel ha'neshama elokit ha'makeret et erka ve'et mekoma. Here Rav Kook is really pointing out something very, very important. We usually think that the mitzvah to rebuke is to help the sinner, which is true. But Rav Kook is adding that it's also for the rebuker himself, so that I won't be influenced by what I just heard, by the dirty speech, right? There's the famous example of, in Gone with the Wind, they use the word damn for the first time in Hollywood on screen, and everybody was in shock. And afterwards, it went from damn to worse things and worse things and worse things, until the more you hear it, the more the shock wears off. And so much so that today television doesn't censor these things anymore. The same thing with Lashon Hara. The more Lashon Hara I hear and I don't rebuke, then I am becoming an accomplice to the crime. Because if I'm not part of the solution, I am part of the problem. Let's see together. I brought for you in source 6, where the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of rebuking. Source 6 in Sefer HaMitzvot, Mitzvah Resh Hei. Hi shetzivanu lehochiach hachote. One of the 613 commandments is to rebuke the sinner. O mi sheyirtze lachto, or even somebody who is about to sin, there already is a mitzvah to rebuke him. V'limnoa oto mimenu, b'mamar v'tochecha. V'ein ro'i lanu sh'yomar echad mimenu, ani lo echte, ani lo echta, v'im yechte zulati mali. You can't say, well, I won't sin, somebody else sins, that's his problem, that's between him and God. Dinoim Elohav, that's his problem. Ze hefech ha'torah. Very strong statement. The Rambam is saying that to passively let your Jewish brother sin, that is the opposite of the Torah. Aval anachnu mitzuvim shelo namre velo nazov zulatenu meumatenu. Sheyamre. We are not allowed to let anybody rebel against God. And if we do so, it's as if I'm rebelling. Vimishtadel lamrot chayavim anu lo chicho lashivo. Even if there aren't two kosher witnesses there, it doesn't make a difference. I have the obligation to rebuke. Now, it's very important already to point out that in most cases today, this doesn't apply, simply because if you yell at a person and you don't know how to get the point over in a way that he might accept your rebuke, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of rebuking, right? We once spoke about if somebody throws a rock at somebody who's driving on Shabbat and yells, Shabbos, Shabbos, he hasn't fulfilled any mitzvah. Because it's like yelling at him in French, and he doesn't understand French. Because when you yell at someone, you don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of convincing him to act otherwise. You're just going to get him angry, and he's going to debate. Right? Get to the debating team. Let's look together in source 7, where the Rambam mentions another aspect. Haroeh, this is in Ilchot Deot, Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin. Again, the mitzvah of actively rebuking. By the way, Rav Kook is a super activist. And the classic example, even though 120 years ago, it was a big debate among rabbis, should we wait passively for the Mashiach or should we actively bring him? Rav Kook led the camp who said, we are supposed to actively bring him. And he brought a lot of sources. By the way, Rav Aaron Rakefet says that the turning point in Rav Soloveitchik's life that got him to leave the Agudat Yisrael and to join the Mizrahi was when, towards the end of World War II, when finally the rabbis got together and they demonstrated, hundreds of rabbis marched on Washington, and it was too little, and it was too late. And even then, most of Agudat Yisrael, most of the Haredi rabbis, were against going to the demonstration. And Rav Soloveitchik mentioned, after the Holocaust, he said that on Yom Kippur, we have to add another al-chet. Together, we have sinned on this, we have sinned on that, we have to add a new al-chet, that we have sinned, that we did not do enough to stop the Holocaust. We did not demonstrate enough, we did not put enough political pressure or boycott, etc., etc. And again, Rav Soloveitchik, like Rav Kook, are like really all Zionists, activists. And that is the mitzvah v'ochiach tochiach. When you see something wrong, don't just suffer it. You have to get up and solve the problem. Let's skip to the end of Source 7. The middle of Source 7. V'daber lo benachat u'bilashon raka. Right? And you should speak to him softly and sensitively. Like we said before, you have to say it in a way that you can maybe convince the person to act differently and to stop sinning. Im kibel mimenu mutav. If the person accepts his rebuke, fine. V'im lav yochichenu pam shnia u'shlishit. Just keep rebuking a second time and a third time. V'chin tamid chayav adam lochicho ad sheyakeu achotev v'yomar lo eino shomea. Until the person starts hitting you and saying, will you stop rebuking me already? Again, halacha l'maaseh, this isn't applicable today. But we see the point of how important it is to stop when we see something wrong. V'chol she'efshar biyado limchot ve'no moche, hu nitfas be'avon elu. V'kevan she'efshar lo limchot bahem. When a parent, I'm not saying with adult children, but there's a saying in Sifrei Musar that till children are up to your shoulder in height, that is when you can rebuke them. Once they're past than that, you can't rebuke them. But as long as you can rebuke, and it could be your spouse, your children when they're of the age that they can listen, your students, your neighbor, why do we have an obligation? Again, the Rambam is touching, hinting at what Rav Kook said. It's not just to stop the sinner. And it's not just for all of society. It is also for me, myself. That I become stronger in my convictions when I hear somebody cursing and I ask him to stop. And if I don't, and I just politely smile, I'm an accomplice. And who nitfas ba'avon? Somebody who doesn't rebuke, he is also part of the sin. It's interesting. There's a Gemara in Chulin. I know some of you learned studying for the rabbinate. It's brought down in Halacha in Yoradea regarding salting meat, for example. That as long as the meat is exuding blood, as long as it is spitting out blood, kevan de palat lo bala. When a person is, when the blood is coming out, it's not going to be swallowed. In other words, when I am rebuking somebody who sweared, I am not going to be influenced. And that is the major chidush of what Rav Kook is saying. Maybe let's look in Source 8, where the Rambam adds another interesting point. In a Sefer HaMitzvot, the second mitzvah, that's a sign that it's all very important, Shetzivanu beha'amanat ha'yichud. We were commanded to get other Jews to believe. Notice, the word is not le'amin, but it is le'ha'amin, he feel. Like le'halbish is to dress somebody, and le'ha'achil is to feed somebody. Le'ha'amin is to get somebody else to believe. Where does the Rambam learn this mitzvah out from? As it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen, Israel, notice, Shema Yisrael that we say twice a day is not a declaration, I believe, but it is a call to all Jews listening, listen, hear, Israel, the Lord our God, He is one. Again, is the mitzvah of getting others to believe, to get others to be better, and that helps me be better. That is my mitzvah. By the way, mitzvah gimel, I could have brought it also, is the mitzvah of ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. And the Rambam explains, what does it mean to love God? To make Him beloved on other people. Right? If you love the New York Yankees, and your friend likes the New York Mets, you want to convince them that the New York Yankees are better. If you love somebody, you want others to love them as well. I always give the example, my father was the principal of the school that I went to, and when all the eighth graders used to curse my father in front of me, that hurt me. Because if I love somebody, I want others to love them as well. So too, again, we see that these are mitzvot number 2 and 3 in the Torah. These are very central mitzvot. To love God and to believe God is also to speak, to get others to love and to believe in Him as well. That's why Avram is called Avram Moavi. Avram, my beloved. Why is Avram called my beloved? Because he called people to join monotheism. Let's finish up. Back to source 2, paragraph bet. Aval. If you are silent and you let that swearing, that derogatory negative speech hang in the air, unconsciously, that is going to ruin, to spoil, to poison the atmosphere of society. Notice what Rav Kook is saying. Not only will you sink to the level of the cursor himself if you don't rebuke him, but you will sink to his level of hashgacha. What's Rav Kook referring to? The Rambam says that the more a person is righteous, the more hashgacha pratit there is, the more God watches over him, the more God intervenes. On the other hand, the more a person is bad, is a sinner, the less God watches over him. Rav Kook is saying, a person who doesn't rebuke the cursor, not only is he ruining it for the cursor, he is ruining it for himself, he is ruining it for society, and all of this is connected also with Ashkacha. He will sink to a level of a lower spiritual level, Shelam Daber Ba'atzmo, as if he will sink to the level of the swearer himself, Ze'um Hashem Yipol Sham. He who God is angry at, the Gemara is saying, that's also the person who remained silent and didn't rebuke, he also will fall down. Rav Kook, in source number 9, we don't have time to see it, talks about the, how, maybe we'll just see a line from it, on the second line, Yesh bo tzad prati, miyuchad la'adam atzmo, v'tzad klali. Here, the idea of rebuking is not just private, regarding the sinner, and regarding the rebuker, that again, that I should exude, rather than swallow, right? There also is the general society side to it. This is part of the arevut, the national unity, that kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. All Jews are responsible for each other. Like the famous mashal of the guy in the boat who's drilling a hole underneath his seat. And everyone's yelling at him and saying, what are you drilling the hole? You'll get us all sunk. And the guy says, what do you care? I paid for this ticket. This is my seat. No, we Jews are partners. But continues Rav Kook, Umurava gamkin bechol haolam kulo, mipnei ha'pula Yisraelit haruya liot makefet et kol ha'enoshiyut. The Jewish people are always on center stage. So too it was in the Tanakh. So too it is once again. The United Nations is always looking at us, for good or for worse. And that is what it is to be an Or LaGoyim, to be a light to the nations, to influence the nations. Rav Kook is saying, yes, we have an obligation, not just towards the sinner, not just towards myself, not just towards Jewish society and the state of Israel, but also to the entire world, so that the world will have a nicer fragrance. One last point. Source 5. Rav Kook has to add a very important point from Sefer Orot. Hava ha'gdola she'anachnu ohavim et umatenu, the great love that we have for Am Yisrael, that Rav Kook was famous for, lo tisameh et einenu milevaker et kol mumeha, that love of Israel should not prevent us from criticizing that which is not good. Demonstrate. Yes, we love the state of Israel. We love the government of Israel. But we have an obligation to demonstrate. Just like we love our spouse, we love our children. When we see our children doing something wrong, we dafka rebuke them and should rebuke them more than a stranger. Why? Because we love them. Aval inenu motzim et atzmiyuta gam acharei habikoret hayoter chofshit nikiya mikol mum. And even after the strongest rebuke of our fellow Jews and of our Jewish state, kulach yafa rayati umum ein bach, we always must remember that all Jews have an essential, inherently holy soul. And that even when they do something wrong, it's just external. That they really are godly. A Jew can act like a goy, but a Jew cannot be like a goy. You can't baptize and get out of Judaism. Because just like you can eat like a pig, but you can't be a pig, so too you can act like a goy, but you cannot be a goy. And that is our unconditional love of Israel. But it does not hold us back from rebuking. Adraba, the more you love a person, the more you want to rebuke them. But in a pleasant and tolerant way. To summarize the main points, we spoke about the severity of cursing. But the main chidush of today is that also hearing is a problem, because we are comprised of, to a large extent, what we hear from our society. We saw the Maharal gives a beautiful explanation of why when a person causes the deafness in another person, he has to pay for his whole body. Because when a person can't hear, he can't learn. And again, that is another aspect of the severity of hearing negative things. What should you do? Get up, prepare yourself beforehand, know how you're going to rebuke, sensitively, not yelling, gently, but you have to rebuke. And if you don't rebuke, just like the meat with the blood, if the blood isn't coming out, then the blood can then be absorbed. And also, all of this is connected with the arevut, the responsibility that we have for all of Israel, and for our fellow Jew, and even, Rav Kook adds, for all of mankind, a responsibility to the entire world.